I'm working hard on trying to keep these short and concise. We're on Daf Ayin Zayin. Today, on this Daf, we actually finish off the schedule of Shabbos. We've been talking about Avdallah and Siman Shin is about making a Malav Malka, setting up a Malav Malka. The big highlights of the Malav Malka is that this is the way we accompany the Shabbos. We accompany the Shabbos through celebrating, I guess, showing a Suda, having a Suda to show the significance of the Shabbos leaving. And it's okay to even have just the Kazayas. Mishneh Berurah points out that it's preferable to do it a little bit closer to Shabbos, meaning like faster, not later. The deadline, so to speak, is till Chatzos, till midnight. Mishneh Berurah brings a whole interesting medrash about the fact that there is one aver in the body called Naschui, and that aver keeps going, doesn't rot, doesn't decay. When a person's in their grave and it's being fed by the Malav HaMalka because its main nourishment is specifically on Motzoi Shabbos. Sounds like some nice Kabbalah. Either way, the point being is supposed to have Malav Malka. It's preferable to have it right after Shabbos. Mishneh Berurah mentions it's preferable to have meat. I can't imagine too many people having meat from Malav Malka. I actually don't know anyone except maybe Reb Chaim Kanievsky. I heard Reb Chaim Kanievsky has hot meat pretty close after Shabbos, exactly the way it's supposed to be done. Besides for him, I don't think I know anyone else who does that. The brewer points out if you can't wash, you should at least have mezonos or fruit, something, in order to accompany the malka out. For whatever reason, the Torah decides, okay, we finish the schedule. It goes back now. It tells us a lot of Hilchos Shabbos that we didn't really touch on yet. So it starts here in Siman Shin Aleph. Interesting halacha. It's about running. You're not supposed to run on Shabbos unless it's for a mitzvah. Run to shul. Also, you're not supposed to take big steps. You're not supposed to take big steps, large steps either. Shulchan Aruch continues to say that those children, those bachrim, who get a special oinek Shabbos from running and jumping, so then for them it's mutter, and also to run to go see anything that they want to see, it's mutter, because what gives you oinek Shabbos is mutter. This is something that we prefer not to do. We prefer to have the way we act on Shabbos differently, even in the way we walk. But if it's Oinek Shabbos, it's all mutter. Talking about running and taking big steps, big strides, the Shulchan Aruch goes on to talk about trying to jump over a body of water. So if there's a body of water blocking, you need to take a big jump. To jump over it, that's mutter. You're allowed to do it. You're not supposed to go into the water because we're afraid you're going to squeeze out the clothing. But that's Sif Gimel. Sif Dalet says that you're not supposed to go into the water in a regular scenario, but if it's a Dvar Mitzvah, if you're going for a Mitzvah, like to be Mekabel Pnei Rabbi or somebody else, you're going to greet somebody, a Rebbe or a friend, then you are able into the body of water as long as you do some type of Shinui to remind yourself that you can't squeeze out your clothing. There was a little discussion of how much of a friend, let's say it's a Rebbe for a student, is that okay? It depends what you need it for. The point being is there should be a real need that you're really doing some sort of mitzvah of greeting somebody. The Shulchan Aruch continues to say that sandals, which will fall off, you can't wear it. Basically, any item of clothing that will fall off, maybe like Crocs, because we're afraid you're going to end up carrying them. Now, it's interesting halacha over here. It says that if you have a heter to walk through the water to go do a mitzvah, like to greet your Rebbe, then you're also allowed to go back. Why? Because we're afraid that if we don't allow you both to cross the river to get to him, you won't, and also to be able to go back home, and then the next time when it comes to greeting your Rebbe, you're not going to even go in the first place because we didn't let you to come back home. So sometimes we allow you to do something in order to make sure you do it again in the future. This is a big discussion, more medical terms as far as Hatzalah and doctors, and it's discussed much later. That's not what this is talking about. This heter that you could go back is not that halacha because you're not doing anything aser. You are allowed to go in water on Shabbos. We're just afraid if you go in water, you're going to squeeze your clothing. So the heter over here is that you don't have to have the fear of squeezing, but it's not that we're actually giving you a heter. We're not giving you a permit to do an avera. So that halacha is not being discussed here. It's just a basic idea of going over a body of water for a mitzvah. If it's not for a mitzvah, but it's for a purpose that's good for you, like to make sure you don't get a hefsid, so you're allowed to go through the water, but you're not allowed to go back. And there are a couple of obvious reasons. First of all, the reason why you can't go back, Mishnah Berurah says, okay, so next time he won't go and make sure he's not losing money. Beseder, we're not so upset. But the other reason is because psychologically, if the person's going to make sure he doesn't lose money, it's not going to be an impediment to him to tell him, oh, you can't come back. He's going because he doesn't want to lose money. So we don't have the problem in the first place that we're afraid he won't do it in the future. So all the different halachas of carrying, keep in mind that the real issur d'orais of carrying requires a real rishus harabim, which has all kinds of requirements. We're not going to go through all of them in detail, but there's a concept of having 600,000 people. There's a concept of having a main road at 16 amma wide, and that main road cuts from one side to the next. I'm not going to go through all the details because in the end of the day, it's really all about a question of if you have an Erev or you don't have an Erev. If you have an Erev, you can carry. If you rely on the Erev. If you don't have an Erev, you can't carry. I'm not going to learn all the different details right now about that. However, next time we will discuss going outside with different items, when it's a problem, when it's not a problem, when there's no Erev. There's obviously also another issue. It's not just walking outside in the street. If there's no Erev, you won't be able to leave your house. You won't be able to go from Rishus HaYachid to the public area. So there are all kinds of different scenarios that we'll have to talk about next time.